Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Amen.
pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Light dawns in the darkness for the upright.
He is gracious, merciful, and righteous.
Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord.
Who greatly delights in his commandments.
His offspring will be mighty in the land.
The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in his house.
And his righteousness endures forever.
Light dawns in the darkness for the upright.
He is gracious, merciful, and
it is well with the man who deals generously and lends.
Who conducts his affairs with justice.
For the righteous will never be moved.
He will be remembered forever.
He is not afraid of bad news.
His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord.
His heart is steady. He will not be afraid.
Until he looks in Zion upon his head.
He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever.
He is Lord and exalted in honor. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Light dawns in the darkness for the upright.
He is gracious, merciful, and righteous.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 2nd chapter. When I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of God. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men
worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world.
Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, especially these words, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is our text. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Yes, you, baptized and believing Christian, salt and light. Notice that this is not a request Jesus is making. Would you like to be the salt and the light? And it's also not a command. It's a statement of fact. Jesus says it, and his speaking makes it so. His strong word makes you salt and light. Now, why salt? Well, salt seasons and preserves. And what a marvelous thing it is. Salt works in such a hidden way. And a little bit does a great deal of work. A pinch is just enough to season an entire meal. A pinch of salt. But what's the main dish? That's Jesus. Your salt, you're the seasoning scattered throughout the world, here throughout north central Massachusetts. You give the little corner of the earth where you live the flavor of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that's what makes you salty. Lose that. Lose the death and resurrection of Jesus for the justification of the sinner. Lose that. And, well, you've lost your saltiness, too. Then you're left with nothing more than bland religion. No salt. The Apostle Paul was also salt in his time and in his place. And even now he salts the earth and us through his letters. The Jews wanted miraculous signs. The Greeks wanted impressive speech. But Paul stuck to being salt. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not to know signs and wonders, not to know the wisdom of the world, but to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. St. Paul says that he came in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. The message was central and not the messenger. Paul, of course, had a great education. He had a great many gifts. I suspect he could have been very impressive in his speech if he wanted to be. But it wasn't about him. Instead, he preached Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. And why? That your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Salt never takes over the main dish. And this is one danger that we have. When you draw attention to yourself instead of to Jesus Christ and him crucified, when you do works for your own honor and glory rather than to glorify the Father, then you're not really being the salt of the earth that he made you to be. The same goes not only for us as individuals, but for the church and her ministry. When the church draws attention to herself, when pastors become the focus, when the building and the institution are the main thing, then the church loses her saltiness. And she's fit for what? Fit to be thrown out and trampled. Lord, have mercy. You are the light of the world. And why light? Because light illuminates and it drives away darkness. And not just stadium lighting, which does that on a grand scale, but even a little lamp. Not just the brightness of the sun gives light, but even the light reflected by the moon. And that's a good image for us. You aren't the source of light. You aren't that glowing thing. Jesus is the light of the world. But the light that is seen in you is the light reflected from him. It is his light. And light, of course, isn't meant to be hidden. 2 weeks ago, we were out of power for about 30 hours. I know many of you were as well. We went on a hunt to find every light we could find. Flashlights and lanterns, candles and battery-powered strings of light. Why? So that the darkness would be dispelled. Putting the light under a basket would have been worthless. Might as well stay in the dark as do that. No. Put the light on a stand so that it fills the darkness. Jesus goes one step further, and he describes his people as a city set on a hill. It cannot be hidden. The same goes for being a baptized and believing Christian. Don't try to hide. Don't dim the light. Let it shine. Let it shine. Well, how do we let our light shine? How do we season the earth as the salt of the earth? By faith and works. Faith is known only to God, but works are seen by others. So this is how we live. We live with faith toward God. We don't offer God our works. He doesn't need them, and they don't impress him that much anyway. We live in faith toward God, trusting his promises, and then we live in deep love for each other. You know those words because that's exactly what we ask him to do in and through Holy Communion, that we might live in faith toward you and in deep love for each other. Let your light shine before others, Jesus says, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How is the Father glorified? He is glorified in his Son, Jesus Christ. So another way of saying what Jesus said is to say this: let your Jesus shine before others, so that in his light, in the light of his death and resurrection, in the light of his life, others may see your good works, and in the light of Christ, give glory to your Father in heaven. And to this we say, not to us, O Lord, not to us be the glory, but to you. So these two things are held together. We are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can do, above or beyond or beside or added to what Christ has done, to reconcile the Father to yourself. And yet we also believe this: faith is never alone. For in faith, Christ lives and moves and has his being. He salts and he shines in us. So let your life bear witness to what you believe. I'm sure you've had the experience at some point of perhaps, maybe not hiding what you believe, but just not really emphasizing it or focusing on it. Maybe leaving it off to the side, kind of an extra thing. And I'm sure you felt in those moments that tension within you, that you aren't being true to who you really are as a Christian, that you've downplayed the thing that is most central and most important. Let your life bear witness to what you believe. And what do we believe? We believe that we love, and whatever love we have is only because God loved us first. We forgive only because Christ forgives us first. We have mercy because first we have received mercy from him. From God to us and through us. This is the order of the Christian life. From God to us and through us. And when we fail to live in faith, when we fail to love and show mercy to our neighbor, it's like putting a basket over the light of Christ. It's like salt that has lost its saltiness. We're revealing ourselves and our sin in those moments while we are hiding him. And now we think about the second part of what Christ said. Christ said that he has come to fulfill the law. And just what is the law? In Romans, Paul says that the fulfilling of the law is love. It is not just doing this or doing that, but ultimately love is what fulfills the law. And so Christ's love is what perfectly fulfills the law. He didn't come to abolish Moses and the prophets. He didn't come to set aside the Old Testament writings, but to fulfill them. Or we might say, to fill them up fully. He didn't come to set aside the commandments, but to keep them. And in keeping them, to fulfill the commandments with himself and bring them to their desired end. When we think about the Ten Commandments, that we should love God above all things, that we should not misuse his name, that we should remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, honor our father and mother, and all the other commandments that flow from those, we see there a description of our Lord himself. He is the one who fulfilled the commandments perfectly. He is the one who lived them, not only outwardly, but inwardly, in thought, in word, and in deed. It is Christ's love that frees us to love. His love, how deep, how wide, how high, his love fulfills the law. So our Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to the commandments, he did the heavy lifting. He carried the cross up Calvary. He loved us when we were not lovable. And now we're on the downhill side. Now we're beneath his cross, and from his cross comes that love washing over us and through us and just going on and on. Let his love have its way with you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And that brings us to another way in which the salt can lose its saltiness and the light of Christ can be hidden. This one can sound right, but is a little tricky. It has to do with the law and not the gospel. Although we should remember that tinkering with the law will inevitably mess with the gospel. Jesus says this: whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. To relax the law, to ease its burden, may seem like a gospel thing. It may seem like grace. It certainly can ease the pressure on a guilty conscience. It seems so kind. It seems so inclusive to say things like, God loves you regardless of what you think or do or say. It sounds good to say, let's sin so that grace may abound. You know, he loves to forgive and I love to sin, so it's a perfect match, right? Or saying, who cares about sin since we're not under the law but under grace? That seems to be the way the Corinthian congregation was thinking, so enlightened, so gospel-centered in their tolerance about just about everything. All you have to do is read 1 Corinthians, and you come across things that make you scratch your head and wonder what they were thinking. They were so tolerant and so loving that they even tolerated a man having an affair with his stepmother. They were so tolerant and so loving that they could boast, all things are lawful for me, nothing is forbidden, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and who cares what I do because I'm forgiven anyway. That's like saying Jesus died so that we can live however we want, which is the furthest thing from what the scriptures say. Our Lord warns us that whoever relaxes the commandments and their demands will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. He didn't relax the commandments. Jesus went even deeper. We'll hear that next Sunday. The law said, don't murder. Jesus said, don't even hate or get angry. The law said, don't commit adultery. And Jesus said, don't even think about it. The law said, love your neighbor. Jesus said, love your enemy. The Pharisees taught, try hard and God will reward you. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, and here we must give the scribes and the Pharisees their credit, they were doing as well as any sinner could do. Unless your righteousness exceeds that, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. To diminish the law, to lighten the load of the commandments, is to diminish the work of Christ, who came to fulfill the law with his obedience. It's like saying, Jesus didn't have to do that. It wasn't that bad. He didn't really have to die on the cross. God didn't really mean that. Don't touch it, don't eat it, whatever it might be. He's really just a big softy. He wants us to be happy and feel good about ourselves, doesn't he? When we write off the commandments, when we treat the commandments lightly, we're really doing the exact same thing to the work of Jesus. If you make the commandments light enough, if you wipe them out one line at a time, if nothing is really wrong or sinful, then eventually you won't need Jesus at all. What good is a Savior if you have no sin? Who needs a Redeemer if the law doesn't mean what it says? Watch out for this lie. It sounds so loving. It sounds so gospelly. Sounds so enlightened. They say God accepts everyone. Come as you are. Forget the commandments. That was then. This is now. God is love. That's not the Christian faith. This is the Christian faith. God justifies sinners. That's what he does. He doesn't accept us as we are. He doesn't love us for who we are. God justifies us sinners by the perfect life and the all-atoning blood of his Son, Jesus. And you must be a sinner to be justified. And the law ensures just that, that you're a sinner. When God's law convicts you, when it points out your sins, when it shows you who you really are deep down, give thanks for that. And then look to your Savior who fulfilled the law. You might not always be poor. You might not always appear to be pitiful, but you are a sinner. And if you're a sinner, then you can be certain that Christ died for you. This is the point. He came to save sinners. Not to pat us on the back and tell us we're all right, but to save us. And the other way offers no peace. If we try to soften the law, if we try to tell ourselves it doesn't mean what it says, if we try to explain how our situation is an exception or what I did or said makes sense, we're not going to find any peace that way. The law can't be tamed. It amplifies sin and it accuses and it kills sin. There's no way under the law to satisfy the law. There's only Christ. Christ and him crucified. He's the end of the law for all who believe. It's his work, it's the work of the law to drop you dead at the feet of Jesus. And then thank God that he raises the dead. You see, this is what our God is doing. Not wrapping his arms around us and saying, you're okay the way you are, come as you are. He brings his law to do its work of putting us to death and then raising us to real life with him. So let the law do what it's meant to do. Let it kill. Let it judge your every act, word, thought, and desire. Don't try to ease it. Don't make excuses or try to justify yourself with it. The wages of sin is death. The law will kill you. Every jot and tittle of it will kill. That's what it's supposed to do. You can't fix a sinner. You might be able to dress them up decently, but you can't fix them. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must die and rise. You must be born anew from above. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The law says, be holy as the Lord your God is holy. In Christ Jesus, baptized and believing, you are holy in his holiness. The law says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. In Christ Jesus, baptized and believing, you are perfect in his perfection. The law says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. In Christ Jesus, you're covered with a righteousness not your own, with the righteousness of Jesus who came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And that's what makes you salt. That's what makes you light. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to us and all people, and the gospel be preached in all the world. Lord, in your mercy, grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Look with mercy on all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Laura, Kay, Rachel, and Abby. Be with all who are involved in foster care, especially Mike and Dee, and bless their home in these days. Give them patience as they await to use the home and the life you've given them to serve a little one. Lord, in your mercy, by your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and peace. Lord, in your mercy, comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Ed, Michelle, Marilyn, whom you have mercifully helped, Linda, Diane, Phil, Amara, Catherine, Al, Anne, Cynthia, Vivian, Jim, John, Kay, Bobby Joe, Jason, Rich and Carol, Jackie, Judy, and Judy. Be present with those who are mentally ill and with their families. Do not allow the evil one to trouble them, but provide them with people who will care for them in their need. Grant them knowledge of your redeeming love. Give wisdom and sympathy to all mental health counselors, especially to Donna, Beth, Rosemarie, and Gail, that they may serve others with the strength you provide. Lord, in your mercy. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us
to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. And prepare now all who commune to receive in true faith the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, these and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right and true.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 80. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin, Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us all an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.